ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
In the age of Kali, all of the places of pilgrimage lose their power. However, Navadvipa alone stands brilliant as the crest jewel of all holy places. The power of Navadvipa only intensifies as the world becomes more degraded by the powers of Kali. In fact, all of the holy places throughout the creation are manifested within Navadvipa Dham. Just as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, is the source of all avatars, and all other incarnations, all expansions are within Krishna. Similarly, all the abodes of the Lord are within Navadvipa. Where we are sitting today is Naimasharanya. Once Suta Goswami came to this very spot to speak the glories of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sonaka Rishi and the sages of Naimisharanya. At that time, there were tens and thousands of great rishis sitting in this spot, very eager to hear the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in which they heard in Naimasharanya, which is the life of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana, the crest jewel or cream of all Vedic literatures. Srila Vedavyas, after compiling all other literatures, was unsatisfied within his heart until Sri Narada Muni instructed him to compile Srimad Bhagavatam, which deals exclusively with pure devotional service and which reveals the transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan. For Srimad Bhagavatam concludes, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begins his Leela. He is the very personification of the teachings of the Bhagavatam. Because the culmination of Srimad Bhagavatam's teachings is the supreme glory of Srimati Radharani's love for Lord Sri Krishna. She is the source of all devotion. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, tasting the sweetness of Sri Radharani's love and distributing that love indiscriminately within this material world through the congregational chanting of Krishna's holy name.
Krishna, 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 Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.
Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of Krishna, non-different than Krishna. Lord Chaitanya's life and teachings brought this message of Krishna consciousness to the world. He taught us, by his example and through his devotees, how to live the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam, by keeping Krishna's desires always as the goal of our life. So when Suta Goswami was discussing the Leela and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Sonaka Rishi and the sages were sitting here in rapt attention. At that time, Lord Shiva heard that Gaur Leela is being discussed by Suta Goswami. From his abode, he was so eager to get here. He did not want to miss one syllable of one word of this narration. His heart was filled with transcendental greed to hear the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In his anxiety to come here, he felt that his bull, Nandi, simply moved too slow. So he moved him aside and mounted Brahma's swan and told the swan, full speed, go to Navadvipa. That swan came here at top speed, and Lord Shiva sat to hear Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's glories. This is a very important principle. Mahajana yena gata sabanta. If we want to understand Krishna, we have to follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans. Lord Shiva is one of those 12 Mahajans. Eagerness for devotional service is the price of bhakti. In fact, Sri Rupa Goswami has said that there's only one price that can purchase Krishna. That's pure devotional service. And there's only one price by which we can attain pure devotional service. And that is when we develop the intense greed for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, in order to be a true Vaishnava preacher, you have to have enthusiasm. If you're not enthusiasm, you are dead. Now what if we don't have enthusiasm? What if we don't have that thirst, that hunger, that greed to hear and chant the glories of the Lord? We should act in that way. Not as a matter of showing that we're advanced, but as a matter of expressing to Krishna how much we want it. By acting with renunciation, enthusiasm, in devotional service, we are showing Krishna, this we want. I must have it. Our own beloved Guru Maharaj, this was the special quality that his Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, pointed out in him. That he's very eager to hear. When they were at Koshi during the Braj Mandala Parikrama, Prabhupada came to hear his Guru Maharaj. At that time there was an announcement that we are taking all of us, all the pilgrims, to the Sheshashayi Vishnu temple. And also Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj will be speaking tonight. It is his last night here. Tomorrow he is leaving. So practically all the pilgrims went to see Sheshashayi Vishnu. But Prabhupada stayed to hear his Gurudev. And his Guru Maharaj spoke for many hours. And Only the very intimate disciples were staying, and even some of them were coming and going, sometimes just going. But Prabhupada stayed. And he said, my Guru Maharaj was speaking very high language. Sometimes I didn't understand, but I was so eager to hear from him. Sometime later, at Prayag, where Prabhupada was performing a business at the Rupa Goswami Gaudiya Math, the president of the temple presented Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, presented Prabhupada to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, recommending him for initiation. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati replied that, yes, I accept him. I have taken note that he is eager to hear. And later on he said, because he hears so nicely, whatever he speaks, whatever he writes, will be perfect. Therefore, print whatever Abhay Charanaravinda writes. Eagerness to hear. The message of the Lord has the power to reveal Krishna within our hearts. But Krishna reciprocates according to how we approach him. If we come to the katha because we have to, due to certain social pressures, then what will we get? We'll get out of it some purification, but mostly we'll get acceptance by the society around us. That's what we came for, we'll get it. But if we really come because we understand it's an emergency, I may die today. This message is the nectar of Krishna that has descended to save my life. I must drink it. We should feel a greater urgency to hear the message of Krishna than we do for eating or sleeping or drinking. You know how it feels when you're dying of thirst and there's no water around? How nothing in the world will satisfy you except a glass of water? If someone comes and brings you money, if a handsome man or beautiful woman offers themselves to you, all you could do is say, do you have some water? You can't even see anything except your need for water. In this way, we should thirst to hear about Krishna and to chant his holy names.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare.
In this world, people are so motivated by greed. You see, families become enemies due to greed. People work, foaming at the mouth, like human asses due to greed. People work 1, 2, 3, 4 jobs day and night due to greed. Sri Rupa Goswami tells us, we must have that greed for Krishna. And we practice it by developing a greed, an eagerness to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. Because that eagerness will purify our hearts. Prabhupada would like to tell the story of that thief who happened to be walking by as some Vaishnavas were speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. And he heard description of Krishna. How he's a small boy. And Yasoda Mayi, his mother, decorates him with beautiful gold and silver jewels and ornaments. He has a complexion like a tamal tree. He has lotus eyes. He carries a flute. So he was thinking, I have to find him. Where will this boy be? They said he lives in the forest of Vrindavan. He heard everything he needed to know. He walked all the way to Vrindavan, and he didn't want to forget that description. He would become a rich man overnight if he could just get those jewels from a small child. Easiest job he ever did. He was constantly meditating on that form of Krishna, so eager to see him, so eager to catch him. Then he came to Vrindavan, and there he saw, all alone in the forest, was little Gopal, bedecked with all the jewels that he had heard. He said, my dear child, please give me your jewels. I want your jewels. Gopal said, but how can I give you my jewels? My mother put these jewels on me. If I come home and these jewels are not on me, she will be very angry. She will scold me. No, no, no. It is not like that. No, if I give you my jewels, then Mother Yashoda, she will punish me. She will be very angry with me. I cannot do like this. So every argument that this thief presented to Krishna, he presented an argument why he couldn't give him the jewels. He was so eager for Krishna that in the course of the discussion, due to his eagerness to see Krishna, to be with Krishna, his heart became completely purified and he surrendered to Krishna. Then Krishna gave him the most precious of all jewels, the jewel of pure devotional service. That is the price. We have to want it more than we want anything else in creation. More than our money, more than our health, more than our family members, more than our prestige in the world. More than anything, we must want Krishna. If anything comes before Krishna, you will not get him. As you grow old, everything about you will start to fall to pieces. Family members, you at one time, they were looking at you for shelter. When you're old, they simply see you as a burden. In the Western countries, they just reject you and put you in some home where some hired people take care of you. If they're merciful. Merciful. And here in India, they'll keep you and they'll offer obeisances to you. But in their hearts, even though they may have affection, still, you know that you're simply a burden on them. You're doing nothing for them. Your body is falling to pieces. And you know death's going to come at any minute. And everything will be taken away. What is the value of these material things? Therefore, we should cultivate a greed to attain the greatest thing that there is. That is pure devotional service to Krishna. And Krishna manifests himself in the holy name. In the narrations describing his glories, Krishna is non-different. He is present. Tatra tishtami Narada yatra gayanti madbhakta. Krishna told Narada, wherever my devotees are hearing and chanting my glories, I am there. So this is where we should want to be more than anything else in life. Maharaj Parikshit, when he had 7 days to live, he had only one purpose to achieve, to hear Krishna's glories from the self-realized soul, Shukadeva Goswami, in the association of devotees. And how he was listening. with such enthusiasm, because he was so enthusiastic to hear, Shukadeva Goswami became as enthusiastic to speak. This is loving reciprocation. Shukadeva Goswami told Parikshit Maharaj, because you are so eager to hear, I am becoming so enthusiastic to speak more. Srila Prabhupada was very much concerned that devotees understand the importance of hearing. Prabhupada had his devotees performing so many types of devotional service. But when he would be in a place speaking, it was his desire that everyone was there to hear them. Unless it was really unavoidable to be somewhere else. At times, Prabhupada would chastise. This was being spoken to us, some practical examples of this. Prabhupada would chastise the devotees. Your spiritual master has come here. So much of his energy is being extended to speak, and you're not even willing to reciprocate by coming to hear him. You have something that's more important to do. He was very upset. This place is called Hamsa Vahan. It is the place where we should pray for that great determination to eagerly hear the message of Krishna consciousness. To be greedy to hear more and more and more about Krishna. To render more and more service to Krishna. And to chant Krishna's holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
To be speaking Krishna conscious philosophy, many realizations come. One is how detached you have to be. Because when we're speaking, we're trying to serve the Lord and his devotees, and devotional service is a matter of reciprocation. Bhakti means reciprocation. On a very high level, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, if no one comes, then you be enthusiastic to preach to the four walls, because Krishna will hear you and Krishna will be pleased. Hare Krishna. So you're reciprocating with Krishna by preaching to walls. In New York City, in 1966, they rented a hall, big, big hall. They expected hundreds and hundreds of people. And only a dozen people came. The devotees. Can you imagine being in an auditorium that's empty? Yet Prabhupada was speaking with such vitality. The devotees were stunned. They said, Prabhupada, we're sorry, no one came. No, you didn't see? Narada Muni, Brahma, Shiva, they had come to hear. Reciprocation. There's also reciprocation with the devotees. I remember at New Vrindavan, Prabhupada was speaking the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj to his classmates from the seventh canto. And he was so enthusiastic. And the devotees were falling asleep. And Prabhupada, he actually said that, why are they not eager to hear? And he made his classes very short. He was not eager to speak to people who were falling asleep. Because there's a reciprocation. It's actually a reciprocation of love. Sharing Krishna. The speaker, he has nothing of his own. He's simply sharing what he has heard from his guru in the scriptures, sharing Krishna as an act of love. And what brings satisfaction is when people are eager to accept that offering. If you render service to someone and someone says, I don't want it, you don't feel very good about that. But if someone's, yes, yes, please, thank you very much for giving me this, then you're enlivened to give more and more and more. Similarly, when someone is giving the treasure of Krishna consciousness as an offering, as a service to you, if you open your heart with enthusiasm to hear, then you're reciprocating with love. And then that person wants to reciprocate more with your love. And it's an endless cycle. That's what Hari Katha is actually all about. If we come late, if we're disinterested, if we're somewhere in a corner where nobody sees us so that we can space out, then where is the reciprocation of the love? So we should understand the subtleties of what Hari Katha is. It's not simply like coming to an academic classroom and taking your lessons. It's actually not only reciprocating with the speaker, but reciprocating with who the speaker represents. Our whole parampara, and ultimately Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna. So we should be very eager to associate with devotees, eager to hear and chant in that association, because that eagerness is price we have to pay to actually realize the substance of Krishna consciousness. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught us by his example. And our acharyas, they have taught us by their example. Hamsavahan is a very sacred place. In memory of this pastime, there is a deity of Lord Shiva sitting upon a swan. And that deity is placed under the water in this lake, in a secret place, 364 days a year. The deity of Hamsavahan is taken out of the lake one day a year and brought in a procession to a temple which we will pass on our way out and indicate to you. On that one day, many, many throngs of people come for the annual darshan of the deity. Big, big festival. Then he is put under the water of this kund once again. Shri Hamsavahan ki jai. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. We have just come from Godram Dweep, where Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's home is. It is the island of Navadweep that represents Kirtanam, the chanting of the holy name. The story is that Indra was so offended by Lord Sri Krishna that instead of Indra Puja, Krishna convinced the Vrijavasis to use all Indra's paraphernalia to worship Govardhan Hill. He sent torrents of rain from the Samvartaka clouds with the idea of destroying Vrindavan. But Krishna, who is Giridhari, he lifted the Govardhan hill with the little finger of his left hand for 7 days and seven nights, and not a single drop of water could touch any of the gopas, gopis, or cows. Even the peacocks, the insects, the reptiles, they were simply happy standing on the under the umbrella of Giriraj, watching the beautiful Krishna standing in a type of threefold bending form holding Govardhan hill. Indra realized that he is his worshipable Lord, and he surrendered to Krishna. But he was feeling that he had committed such a terrible offense. So he spoke to Surabhi. Actually, when he was going down to beg forgiveness from Krishna, he was afraid to approach him. You can only approach Krishna through one who is dear to Krishna. If someone who Krishna loves and who has surrendered to the Lord appeals on your behalf, then Krishna will accept you. That is why it is absolutely essential for all conditioned souls to accept his spiritual master. Unless he prays for us, unless he offers our lives to Krishna, Krishna will not accept it. The mercy of the spiritual master comes through his instructions. And to the degree we're very eager to follow those instructions, to those degree we get that mercy. Mercy of Krishna. So he approached Surabhi, knowing that Krishna is Gopal, Govinda. He is the protector of cows. After he begged forgiveness from Krishna, he expressed his regret to Surabhi. She informed him that in the Kali Yuga, Krishna will appear in his most merciful, magnanimous of all incarnations, Lord Gauranga, in Navadvip. You come with me to Navadvip, and we will worship Gauranga together there. So there is a banyan tree under which Surabhi and Indra perform penances, praying to Lord Gauranga and chanting the holy name. Go means cow and Druma means tree. Godrumi means the island of the tree where Surabhi resides. After performing their prayers, Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu personally appeared in his radiant golden form before them. Singing and dancing the holy names before them, he spoke to Indra and told him, "You are forgiven." He said, "In the age of Kali, I will appear in this form to distribute Krishna prema freely through Harinam Sankirtan. At that time, you will take birth as one of my associates and personally see my pastimes." Then Lord Gauranga disappeared. Indra returned to Swargaloka. But Surabhi did not want to leave the holy land of Navadvip. She remained, chanting the holy names of Lord Gauranga. Markandeya Rishi received the benediction that he would live for 7 kalpas. Now for those of you who really desire a long life, please listen to this story carefully. At the end of kalpa, there is dissolution. He saw all of a sudden massive clouds pouring, torrents of rain, and soon there was no more land. Everything was inundated. There was just massive ocean, nothing else to be seen. He was just swimming in that ocean. It was freezing cold. gigantic waves would just batter against his body, sometimes putting him deep down in the water, then another wave would come up and bring him outside. He was trembling, shivering. There was winds. There was gigantic fish that he was fearful may eat him. He had no shelter. He was suffering so terribly that at one point he fell unconscious. And somehow or other, he came by Navadvipa Dham. Because Navadvipa is transcendental to material nature. It is not destroyed at the time of dissolution. Sarabhi was sitting under her tree and she saw him in a miserable state. And she brought him onto the land of Navadvipa. She woke him up. Where am I? Who are you? I haven't eaten anything in practically a kalpa. He was really hungry and thirsty. So she gave him some of her own milk. And he was completely satisfied. Then she explained to him that this is the eternal abode of Navadvipa, the place where Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu will appear. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna in the mood of Sri Radha, who comes to distribute pure love of God to everyone through his Harinam Sankirtan movement. By taking shelter of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he will naturally be promoted to the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Brajbhumi. This is the only safe and effective means of approaching the land of Vrindavan, is through the mercy of Gauranga. So you constantly, Markandeya, constantly pray to Lord Gauranga and chant the holy name. In Godram Dweep is Surabhi Kunj. That is the place where Surabhi eternally resides in her spiritual form, worshipping Lord Sri Chaitanya. Also Surabhi Kunja is the place where Nityananda Prabhu set up his marketplace to distribute the holy name, Namhata. Lord Nityananda Prabhu from Surabhi Kunj established in a very, very wonderful way a means by which the holy name of the Lord can spread throughout the world in a very organized manner. And it is said that one who rolls in the dust of Surabhi Kunj, a place so dearly blessed by Lord Nityananda Prabhu's compassion, will certainly receive the priceless treasure of Krishna consciousness. So Surabhi Kunj is not big enough for all of us to sit properly. So on the way back, we can all enter into the Kunj and offer your obeisances in the dust of the Kunj, praying for Lord Sri Nityananda Prabhu's causeless mercy. The place where we are sitting now, Hamsavahan, is in Madhyadweep. Bhakti Vinod Thakur tells us how this name has come upon this place. The seven great rishis were instructed by Lord Brahma that if you actually want to achieve the perfection of life, you should go to Navadvipa Dham, because that is the place where you will get the mercy of Lord Gauranga. By the mercy of Lord Gauranga, you will gain full realization of Sri Vrindavan Dham. So you go there and you constantly discuss topics of Gauranga. And you constantly chant the names of Gauranga. And you perform The place where we are sitting now, Hamsavahan, is in Madhyadweep. Bhakti Vinod Thakur tells us how this name has come upon this place. The seven great rishis were instructed by Lord Brahma that if you actually want to achieve the perfection of life, you should go to Navadvip Dham, because that is the place where you will get the mercy of Lord Gauranga. By the mercy of Lord Gauranga, you will gain full realization of Sri Vrindavan Dham. So you go there, and you constantly discuss topics of Gauranga. And you constantly chant the names of Gauranga. And you perform penances and austerities in a mood of prayer to Lord Gauranga. So the seven great sages, they left the abodes of the rishis to come to this place where we are sitting today. And there they worshipped Lord Gauranga with great intimacy. You know from Srimad Bhagavatam, the Prachetas were told by their father to also worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. First, they had the darshan of Shiva, and Lord Shiva told them to worship Krishna, and he gave them certain mantras to chant. Vishnu appeared to them and told them, because of your intimate affection for one another, in your service to me, I am very pleased and I have come before you. This is Sankirtan. When devotees develop love and affection in a spirit of servitude for one another, with the idea of encouraging and inspiring each other to become more Krishna conscious, Krishna is so pleased by that sangam of Vaishnavas that he will certainly appear with all of his power to purify our hearts and reveal his love. So the seven great sages here, in great unity, they worship Lord Gauranga. And just at midday, at about 12 o'clock, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared before their eyes. Madhya means middle. Because he appeared in the middle of the day, this is called Madhyadweep. Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu told them that you should give up all your desires for material enjoyment. You should give up the processes of jnana and karma. You should simply take to the process of Hari Katha and Hari Kirtan. I will appear in this beautiful form in Kali Yuga, and you will have the vision to see my Leela. But for now, you go back to Kumarahatta, where you have established a Triveni Ghat, and you worship Krishna there. And always remember me in the core of your hearts. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. This nice tree is giving shade from the sun to hundreds and hundreds of people at a time. This is one of the favorite places of Navadvip for many devotees. It's especially a charming place to sit amongst the Vaishnavas and hear Hari Katha. For our purification, at this time we would like to invite His Grace, the illustrious Jananivas Prabhu, to speak Hari Katha for all of us. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Janani, devotees like Janani Vas Prabhu have the same quality like this banyan tree. One tree is giving shelter to hundreds of people. But a devotee like Janani Vas Prabhu is Kalpa Briksha tree. He could give shelter to millions and millions and trillions of people by his humble prayers and his compassion. Janani Vas Prabhu ki
give everyone shelter, but Gauranga Mahaprabhu can. I'm Radha Madhava Nodana Srinidhar. So actually I pray every day that they bestow their blessings on all the devotees, especially all the devotees in ISKCON. They can do. I'm simply an official priest. I don't know if they can hear my prayers, but I pray every day for all the devotees. So this place we are now is the place of Lord Shiva. And he is very, very merciful to the devotees, and especially the devotees of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has revealed many places in the Navadvipa Dham that we have taken full advantage of. We can now come, we can see, we can make the Navadvipa Dham Parikram and receive the mercy that is available here. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur kindly tells us actually the attitude in which we should make this parikram. And he uses himself as an example in the Navadvipa Bhavataranga when he is making the parikram of Navadvipa. And as we heard this morning from His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami, that there are different dimensions of realization for different people. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur could actually see the spiritual dimension of Sri Navadvipa Dham was being revealed to him. What we see now is also a revelation. This is not a product of Shatrugun, Rajagun and Tamagun. What we witness now is Sandini potency, it's spiritual potency. It's so kindly descended that we can actually experience it with our material eyes. Sandini potency has made itself visible to our eyes. We should never think that this dust and trees and everything here are products of material nature or a part of West Bengal. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was having the inner meanings and the inner visions of the Holy Dhamma revealed to him as he was wandering from place to place. And we notice when we read this experience of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that wherever he went and he was having these revelations, and he always had the same prayer in mind, that please be merciful to me, please be merciful to me. He was praying. And he went so many places. Suchadev was there, who's here is in the form of a great devotee. And he says, he gives the blessings to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He goes to Nrisimhapalli, Lord Nrisimhadev personally appeared to him, put his feet on his head, gave him fearlessness and an instruction to always stay here, and very soon, by the mercy of the devotees, you will attain all perfection. And he meets Drupadi with the Pandavas to give some mercy. He sees Ram and Sita and begs their mercy. And Bhishmadev. And everyone he's meeting, he's simply praying for their mercy, crying for their mercy. And then finally, when he's almost finished his parikram, he's on the island of Rudradweep, which is also Lord Shiva's island, very famous. It's named after Rudra. And Rudradev, Shiva appeared before him. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was praying for the mercy of all the devotees. And as Lord Nrisimhadev said to Bhaktivinoda, by the mercy of the devotees, very soon you will attain perfection. When he met Lord Shiva said, by my mercy, you will attain perfection. So we see, Lord Shiva gave him his blessing, and then immediately, upon seeing that, receiving that mercy, and then he told him to go over to Polina, where is the pastimes of Radha Krishna being enacted. And he went there and he saw actually the pastimes of Radha and Krishna revealed to him. And he immediately fainted upon seeing them. So, Lord Shiva is the Ahankara principle in the material world. That is his Shakti. So actually by his mercy, he removes that Ahankara principle, because that is what is connecting us to the material world. It is this principle that Prabhupada says it's the junction between spirit and matter. So this is what's contacting us to the material world. And by his grace, when he sees that one has become a devotee or situated in his constitutional position of a servant of Krishna and begging to be reinstated in that position, then Lord Shiva withdraws that false ego from his own energy. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the very moment that one gives up his connection with the material world, that very moment he will see the splendor of the Dharma revealed before his eyes. So by the mercy of Lord Shiva, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had this vision. He saw Radha Krishna, he fainted, and when he woke up, he found himself actually in his spiritual form, as the servant of the servant of the servant of Srimati Radharani. And in that he gives us many more instructions, because when he awoken in that, or awakened to that divine state, his eternal state, he found his guru was there by his side. So ultimately this Sri Guru is actually revealing everything to the devotees. And the devotees should see that everything is being revealed by Sri Guru in every object. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was having this vision, very exalted vision. He was seeing his Guru in everything. Not in every person, but also in every object. And he was taking lessons from everything as representing Sri Guru. So good times or bad situations in the material world, we can, as Radhanath Maharaj said, we can at least practice to see Sri Guru in everything and every object. And then we can understand how we are completely under his shelter. We can take shelter there. In the words of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that if I do not see Sri Guru everywhere, who is the Ashraya Vigraha, who gives shelter, then where is my shelter in this world? And he's feeling shelter at every moment because he is seeing Sri Guru in everything, in every object. And so when Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had this reawakened to his original constitution, his guru was there, and it was his guru who actually started to introduce him. We'll go and see Rupa Goswami, because we're all followers of Rupa Goswami. Then they take her to see Vishakha Devi and Lalita Devi. And then Lalita gives them instructions. You take this new disciple, new friend of yours, train her up how to serve Radha and Krishna. So we see Guru is there and actually introducing the disciple to the different personalities, to the spiritual world, with him to get his service, etc. So any kind of realization, any kind of blessings, then we can actually see it as a manifestation of Sri Guru, because the Guru is actually one. And he appears in many, many forms. And his sole object is simply to awaken us to our Krishna consciousness. So here we can see Sri Guru in the form of Lord Shiva, or at least we can't see him, he's under the water. He's under the water because he's in so much ecstasy from hearing the Gaura Bhagavat that his body becomes very, very hot. So therefore he's kept underwater. And we can also pray here for the mercy of Lord Shiva to remove that false ego, that finest covering of the spirit soul. And when that false ego is removed, then we can appreciate direct guidance from Sri Guru, from within. So we must be very thankful for Bhaktivinoda Thakur to reveal the Dharma, so much nice information to help us in Krishna consciousness. He is also Sri Guru, perfect representative. And specifically, we have our relationship with our own Guru, and we should actually see him everywhere by his blessings, by his mercy. We are being maintained in every aspect in our life in this world and in Krishna consciousness. Jai Shri Hamsabhan Shiv Ki.
Jai
Bhakti Nataku Ki.
Jai
Gopi Manandi.
This is also a good place to go batty. A devotee, one of his qualities is that he's sane, but sometimes devotees cross the borders of sanity and they just put everything aside and get absorbed in chanting and dancing. There's some quotation like that, a nectar of devotion, that we don't care what others think. We're just going to chant and dance and roll on the ground and be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So others may think that that's crazy, but that's actually transcendental sanity, just to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.
With that note, we would like to request Tatpar Maharaj to lead us in kirtan.
So, Maharaj is mentioning everything because he is a very learned. He not only following Chaitanya Charitamrita, also Chaitanya Bhagavat, all this. So, after that, very difficult to tell something. So, anyhow, this place is Naimisarana. Naimisarana is especially, you know, for we can, if we are doing some sankirtan or kirtan, anything in Naimisarana, that our enemy, just like Krishna consciousness, many enemy. Our media is enemy, our government is enemy, so many people is enemy. So, this is the very fine place to doing sankirtan. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that in the particular place, if you nicely do sankirtan, the demonic power destroy. So we can preach nicely when the demonic power is available. So this is the place, no difference from Naimisarana. So Naimisarana, just like if you do your bhajan or Srimad Bhagavatam preaching, you get benefit. So here also same benefit you are getting this place. Also Bhaktivinoda Thakur is telling that 500 years ago that there is a many devotee all over the world will come in Mayapur. They will associate with Bengali devotee and chant the Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana. Nitai Gauranga, Nitai Gauranga. So, many years ago he doing prediction, so we cannot understand that at that time people, that what he is saying. But we can see by his spiritual vision, so we can see now it is coming true. And you are coming from all the way to Bombay. So, 100 years ago when Bhaktivinoda, we cannot imagine that thing, that so many people will come here. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktivinoda, like a little story I telling, one just like. So, in childhood, in Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is very much when the child, so he hearing Ramayana and Mahabharata from grandmother like this. So at that time Bhaktivinoda house, this Birchandapur, what is called Bhaktivinoda Thakur house, Birnagar is like a famous house and big garden. There is a many mango or so many fruit tree. So in childhood, although there is so many fruit tree, he not able to go to pick up the fruit and eat. Because somebody is telling that there is a many ghost. So don't go there. Ghost will kill you. Then he asking his grandmother that I like to eat fruit, mango, all these things, but because of ghost I cannot eat. What to do? Then his grandmother is telling, you chant the name of Ram. If you are chant the name of Ram, then ghost cannot come near you and you can eat very nicely all the fruit. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur then getting this mantra, Ramnam, and then he began chanting very nicely and he eating the fruit very nicely. Then he is good. And he hearing the scripture that in Kali Yuga, deity is not talking. So he is thinking, Kali Yuga, deity not talking, sometimes coming near Shiva, scratching his head and telling very loudly the Shiva's, then echo is coming. So he is thinking, Shiva is speaking. So that's why one big Pandit, Vidyasagar his name, he is very famous in Bengal. And he giving lesson that God is Nirakar, God have no form. So he directly is speaking that scholar, by you are explaining all these things, are you by seeing that God you are explaining? That when you can realize that thing, that you are explaining like that. So he is telling God is Nirakar, but he don't think. So in the beginning, also here is this Shiva place, by the mercy of Tarokeshwar, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and coming in Bengal. So one time the purpose of visiting Tarokeshwar, going for business. So he is thinking that I'll go to Vrindavan better. When I retired, I go to Vrindavan. He not know so much about Guru. So in Tarakeshwar, Tarakeshwar is Shiva. He is giving dream to Bhaktivinoda Thakur that just near your house there is a Gaura. That is no difference from Krishna. So why you go to Vrindavan? Better you stay in Mayapur. And so we can see by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he is doing so much tapasya in Mayapur, and he find out so many places. I do not know, Maharaj is telling that story that one person is telling about he is a god. First incarnation in Kali Yuga, and so many people is demand that I am incarnation of God. So there is a one place in Cuttack, there is in village, he is trying to say, I am incarnation of Vishnu. So the time will come, my two more hand will come like Vishnu, and I will kill all the people in Kali Yuga. So he laughing so many people like this way. So many people is attracting by his talking. So many people is coming, thousands of people. Oh, incarnation of God, they are worshipping very nicely. So there is some aristocrat family is coming, complaining that this so-called incarnation, some bad habit or so many things. So that's why British government at that time, he tried to find out, oh, so-called bogus incarnation. But if they go directly, so people will be criticized or so many things. That's why he is thinking that better we go approach to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and tell that all these things. If he can we can convince the Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then our desire will be fulfilled. Then Bhaktivinoda is admitting. So after that, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking with that incarnation, so-called self-manifested incarnation, he's telling, oh, I like to kill all British. So that is my vision. So British emperor become very angry and put him like a jail. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the judge. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is telling, so in this incarnation, so his whole power is in here. So he cut narrow like a devotee. He makes save. So when the police coming to save his, then from his hair the light coming. So all the police is like, oh, I'll not go. My family will be die. This is. So no any police wanted to cut his hair. So because immediately cutting the hair, the light is coming. Then Bhaktivinoda come out from the seat, because he is a magistrate. He taking the job of barber. He himself cutting. Then Bhaktivinoda faced many, many difficulties, his family getting sick, his daughter getting sick, and so many. Because of that. But Bhaktivinoda is very determined. Oh, anyhow, I not will compromise this thing. So-called self-manifested incarnation, I not. So after some day, he was in jail because his power was taking away because saving his hair. So he died. Hare Krishna.
It's just a local legend here. Well, they say it's true, but in this small ashram here where people stay. But they say every evening when the sun sets, then the sun comes here. It's not actually the sun rays, but it's kind of an effulgence and a presence that's felt here at the same time every evening. And they say it's Suryadev comes to pay his obeisances to Lord Shiva before he leaves, goes down. They're saying that every day is happening. Thank you.
footsteps of Surya Dev, let us offer our obeisances. Panchakalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyo eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo.